Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Dean Folks. I'm the lead pastor at LifePoint, and I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus, and happy Monday to you. We jumped back into our series called Under the Hood this past weekend, where we're talking about this reality that change is hard, but Jesus is able. As we're kind of experiencing these unprecedented levels of change and disruption in our lives, our tendency is going to reach for is going to be to reach for the quick fix, right? To say my problem is my job or my stress or my temper or my kids, they cost too much, or my spouse needs me too much, or whatever. And we're just thinking if we can just fix the externals, that everything will be okay. It's kind of like when your engine makes a really weird noise on your car. You could run it through the car wash if you want, but an external superficial cleaning probably is not going to do it. Somebody's going to have to jump under the hood, a professional, and see what's the problem under the problem. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul talks to us about this reality of persuading others. He says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade others. And so we really focused this week on why don't we do that? What are the reasons that we really don't persuade others? And first of all, you know, the problem in that verse is that talking about the fear of the Lord, the terror of the Lord. We just talked about how that's reverential awe. It's this sense that God can do immeasurably more, not just than we could even ask, but that we could even think. And so Paul says, hey, look, we're not commending ourselves to you. In other words, you don't give the job of persuading people. You don't hand that off to the professional Christians, to the pastors. Paul says, listen, when you try to persuade others at times, people are going to think you're out of your mind. But he says, if we're out of our minds for your sake, great. If you resonate with what we're saying, well, that's because of God's Spirit and God's work in your life. So that kind of brings us back to that same question. Why don't we seek to persuade others? And we really, they said there were two reasons. Number one is that I'm not buying what I'm selling. In other words, I'm not living a life that Paul describes in these verses where he says, we are known to God. In other words, where the core of my identity is that God knows me, knows everything about me, knows my flaws, knows my faults, knows the thoughts that no one else knows. And he still not only loves me, but he likes me. Like he wants to spend time with me. When I'm convinced of that, I can't not persuade others, right? And then the second thing we said was, are we praying what we're saying? Are we consistently looking to God to do that immeasurably more kind of stuff that we can't do in ourselves? The way that we said it on Sunday is that persuaded people persuade people. It's not something that you have to turn on to try and have a God conversation with somebody. When you become persuaded that God's way of living is the best way to live, it's almost like you can't stop it. You can't stop from talking about God to other people. So the way that Paul lands the passage is that the love of Christ is really what constrains us, or what that's the thing that controls us. And we talked about, man, just a blessing this Sunday of being able to baptize a young lady. And you know what, her first thought whenever she was going to get baptized in public with her faith was to invite her whole Girl Scout troop to be with us on Sunday morning. And there's just this sense that when you are in right relationship with God and you're spending enough time to be persuaded, to be thoroughly convinced of his goodness, that you live for an audience of one, that you live solely for God's approval above all others. And so I pray that we're those kinds of people, that our church is a body that is known for doing the right thing instead of just doing the common thing. And so what I did at Lewis Center is I encouraged you for the next 7 days, take the opportunity to encourage somebody, no strings attached, whether that's via text or email or phone call or visit, however that is. Encourage somebody specifically for the next 7 days, take this encouragement challenge and watch what it does to your joy. You know, a huge part of Christian joy, and the reason I think people are kind of bored with Christianity sometimes, is that we're just not owning the mission. So I encourage you for the next 7 days, do your best to own the mission, make a difference in the lives of others. I'm going to pray for us. And then when I'm done, I want you to take the opportunity to pray as well. God, thank you for joy. Thank you for the joy of sharing the greatness of who you are. God, it's not work. It's not duty to us. It's God, it shouldn't be. difficult for me. And yet, God, I find myself in that space at times. So God, help me to live thoroughly convinced, thoroughly persuaded, and give me the heart to see others the way you see them, to encourage people where they need it, to have conversations with people where they need it for your sake and your approval. God, not trying to do something to earn it or to get it or to be religious in some way. God, thank you for how you love. Your love controls us. It compels us. I pray, God, that we'll be thoroughly convinced. All right, now you take the opportunity to pray.